The title of our message this morning is The Word. We're going to talk about the Bible some. I don't know why the Lord hadn't impressed me with it before, but I stand here in front of you every week and talk about the things of the Lord. It would only seem fair if you would have some kind of idea about the way I think about it and what God has taught me about His book and the way I look at it. It's the only thing we have that can point us to God except for the Holy Spirit. And so much of our interaction with the Holy Spirit today has been dropped from our teaching that the whole Christian community, in a sense, has lost some of its power. Today in John chapter 1, starting with verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That word here they're saying is Jesus. The word, the word, and Jesus is synonymous. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That word in the Greek that they translated here, word, is the word logos. And what it means in the Greek is an idea or a concept that has been uttered or spoken. Now, you can have an idea or a concept in your mind, and until it's uttered, until you speak it and explain it, nobody knows what it is. And so what John here said in the Greek was that God, and this whole thing about God, is an idea, a concept. And Jesus came along to make it real. He said, "When you have seen the Father," or "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He came to make this whole idea about God something that we could understand. You can't see God. God is a spirit. The Bible says nobody's ever seen Him. But we could see Jesus. And I believe today, He's still got that fleshly body that He had, that He walked with down here. It's glorified now, but you could walk up and see Him and touch Him on the shoulder and shake hands with Him now. The Holy Spirit and God, you can't do that. It says He was in the beginning with God, and it says here that it says in Genesis that when everything was created, Jesus was the one that did it. Said He made everything. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. In the Bible, it handles darkness as sin and being away from God. And then it calls Jesus and the things of God light. And it says here in verse 5, "And the light shineth in the darkness." Jesus came into this world of spiritual darkness, and He shone like a light in the darkness. But it said the darkness didn't get it. They didn't understand it. Then the neat thing, it says over in verse 14 of that same chapter, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So you see, that which started out to be synonymous with the Word became flesh like you and I. And the further I go and the more I study, the more I believe that He was just like us. It says in Hebrews chapter 2 that He was like us in all things. I have been told that He retained His Godhead, His Godness, His ability to create miracles and everything. But He plainly says that everything He did here on this earth, He did because of the power of the Holy Spirit. God did those things. He was the one like us who was indwelled by the Holy Spirit and God used to get those things done. And He says that you, indwelled by the Holy Spirit, can do just the same things that I did and even bigger things. And it says that we're to use Him as our example. In verse 18, in the same chapter, it says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." Jesus came and made this whole idea of a God in heaven real. And He taught us about Him. And He showed us about Him. And He showed us how God acts and how God feels and what He thinks about different things. And we can find out something about this God that we're called to serve by watching Jesus. If you will turn, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Timothy here is being taught by Paul. Timothy is a young preacher that was raised by his grandmother and his mother, and they taught him very, very well in the Scriptures. And he became one of Paul's right-hand men. And Paul was trying to teach him some of these things about being a preacher for God. And he says in chapter 3 and verse 14. He says, "But Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." What Paul is telling Timothy here is the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, can make you what God wants you to be if you'll study them. Then it starts talking about these Scriptures. And let's look and see what it says in verse 16. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." What Paul says here in Timothy is, all we need is the Word. Now look at what it says. And here's some things we can understand about this Bible. Because I tell you, there's all kind of stuff out here about the Bible. I've learned I can't turn on TV in the History Channel and watch a lot of this stuff about the Bible because it's got unsaved people in there telling you how that when God split the Red Sea and the Israelites walked across on dry land, it wasn't nothing but a branch anyhow. It tries to explain away all of God's miracles. Folks, God is in the miracle business. If you deal with Him, you will be dealing with miracles. And the closer you get to Him, the more days you will have with miracles that happen in your life and around you and are recognized by you that God's doing. He can't help it. That's the way He operates. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That says two things there. Number one, it all comes from the same place. And all of it came from God. Now, you see what that tells me is, I have no problem with you if you decide not to believe any of the Bible. I understand that. You can say, I don't believe any of it. That makes sense to me. You can say, I believe all of it. And that makes sense to me, for a Christian is going to believe all of it. But now we've got another problem in here. There's so many of God's folks who don't believe all of it. I don't understand that. It says right here of itself, it all comes from the same place and it all comes from God. I don't see how you can believe part of it and not believe another part of it if it all came from the same place. It says it is not only all came from God and it all came from the same place, it is profitable for doctrine. You know what doctrine is? It's a Greek word for instruction. What kind of instruction? Instruction in doing what's right. For reproof. That word means rebuke, means scolding. For correction, straightening you out. For instruction in righteousness. What it says is, doctrine gets you right. It teaches you what right is. Reproof makes you stay right. Correction keeps you in the right way. It says in Colossians chapter 2:10, it says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished under all good works. And in Colossians 2:10, it says we are complete in Him. So, if this is the Word, and Jesus is the Word, and we are complete in Jesus, we are complete in this book. Now, some folks have brought up this thing about, is everything in here exactly like God wants it to be? I can't answer that, because this is all we got. What do you compare this to except comparing one part of it to another part of it? But I have had to assume that every bit of this book is right. They bring up stuff like, but it's been translated by this and by that, and you can't believe Paul, what Paul says, because he wasn't married, so how can he tell anything about women and being married? That's some of the arguments they use. And they don't realize that when this book right here talks about whatever it talks about, it's God talking about that. He's all we need. The book is all we need. This book is what God has given me to understand Him. That's all I've got. If I start trying to tear it apart, I take the faith out of it, and then I've got nothing to go by. So years ago, I had to sit down and tell the Lord, whatever you teach me out of this book, I'm going to believe. Don't let it be wrong. But I tell you what I've found myself doing over the years, I quit reading other stuff. Well-intended people can give you the wrong stuff. And I've been taught a lot of wrong. And I find that as God straightens some of that stuff out, I find myself more and more and more in the book and less and less and less in other printed matter or TV or radio or listening to other preachers or whatever. I don't want to have to deal with another person's mistakes. I make enough of my own. Go to 2 Peter. Just this side of Revelation. 2 Peter. There's three verses over here that talk about the book too. Now, I'm talking about some things that I know you who've been in the church all these years have had to deal with just like I have. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. And prophecy is inspired teaching. That's what it is. It is the word that comes from God. Under which ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. There it is again, comparing Jesus and the Word to a light in the darkness. Until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The day star, folks, is Jesus Christ. And it says that you've got this book that you can study until Jesus Christ comes in your heart and you become born again. But look at what verse 20 says. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. How many times have you heard someone say, well, you know how the Bible is. Everybody that reads it get a different idea out of it. Well, they may do that, but I tell you this, the Bible says you're not supposed to. If you read this Scripture and you're under the tutelage, under the discipline and the instruction of the Holy Spirit, there is only one interpretation. But wait a minute. We've got things down here that are all kind of different stuff. Why is that? Because of our inability to believe. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any in private interpretation. Now, what else that means is that you will find no place in this book that doesn't jibe with every other place in the book. In other words, what I'm saying is there is no contradictions in the Scripture. You think you found a contradiction? Keep studying and keep praying. It'll work its way out. There are no contradictions in the Word. It all came from the same place. It all came from God. It's all here to instruct us in how to be exactly what God wants us to be. There are no contradictions. Verse 21, for the prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now see, this thing has been brought up by unsaved scholars that Matthew said this, Mark said that, John said this, and Luke said that. They can't all be right. Why can't they? You go to a wreck and ask four people that witnessed the wreck what happened, and you'll get four different answers. And they may all be correct, but the thing is, because of our makeups, because of our character, because of our nature, we have a tendency to look at different things. I've tended to livestock all my life as a profession. I look at grass. I mean, you can't be a cowman or a horseman without being a grass man. So I'm going around looking down at grass all the time. I see things in grass nobody else will. But when I was looking after Mr. Seaman's place, he's a trained forester. He's a sawmill man that owns a farm. And he got me, he said, have you noticed that some of the tops of these trees are dying on the place? I said, no, sir, I never saw it. He said, well, I can't believe you never saw it. It's the most plain thing you ever seen. Look at that tree right there, it's dead. I said, yeah, I see it when you show it to me, but I don't ever look at the top of a tree. I'm looking at grass. Well, you ask him how the trees are doing, and he'll tell you exactly why, because he looks at the top of trees. You ask him what the grass is doing, I found out as long as it's mowed, he likes it. And that's the thing, folks. We have a tendency to look at different things. That's the reason we can't use this up here to decide what God wants us to know. We've got to have the Holy Spirit telling us this is what it says and this is what it means. It It is the nature of men. If you will look at denominations within the worship of Jesus Christ, what you'll find is that people, the Bible is full of truths, and people will take one truth out of the Word and they'll build a group of worshipers on it. And they, like I said a minute ago, they're looking at the grass or they're looking at the trees. They're not looking at the whole picture. And that's the reason we got so many different people worshiping in different ways, because they're making predominant one thing. It's true, but they leave some of the other things out. Probably knowing our nature. Now there's something you got to understand. I'm right. Do y'all have that problem? Huh? Do you ever have problems with people around you that don't know anything, and then they disagree with you, and then you get all upset because you know you're right? Well, that's a tendency we have. So if this outfit over here doesn't believe like I do, I'll go over here and start this church over here. They tell a story about a fellow that was shipwrecked and was on a deserted island for years. And then finally a big boat happened to see something over there, and they stopped and put out a boat, and a crew of men rescued him. And they were looking at him and said, "Well, you've done pretty well with this place right here all these years." He said, "What is this over here?" He said, "That's my house." He said, "Well, you built a nice house." He said, "Yes." "And what's this place over here?" He said, "Oh, that place is my church." "Oh, you're a religious man." "Yes, sir, I am." "Well, what is this building over here?" He says, "Oh, that's the church I used to go to." That's our nature. That's the reason, folks, we have to deny ourselves. Take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. Jesus will keep us straight. Remember, please, the last prayer in the 17th chapter of John that he uttered up to the Father before he came across the people that were carrying him to the cross. He said, "Lord, let them be one like you and I are one." Jesus' will for us was to all think alike. And that's what this Bible says. It's all the same. Only because of our inability to understand do we think that things are not right. I've been there. I thought I found stuff like that. And I go back and I pray and I look and I pray and I look and I grow and I learn and I find out it's not a contradiction at all. There are people who look for contradictions. You'll find them on your TV. You'll find them in your paper on Friday morning. You'll find them on radio. You'll find them on books. And it's that same idea that I'm right and I want everybody to know it, so I've found something that nobody else knows. But you see, the problem with that is it takes the faith away. This thing called Christianity has been around a long time. You're probably not going to find out anything new about it. If I could just know what Jesus told Paul, I would be perfectly satisfied. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, please. Chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 4. It says, "In such trust have we through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Here's that reminder that God told Jeremiah, man does not have the ability in his own heart to direct his own path. You can't do it. Spiritual things are out of our realm. We have to learn it from God. It says in verse 6, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. We've learned to be Christians through the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, and the Spirit giveth life. Now that right there, that scripture makes a differentiation in the book. I was brought up to believe that when you spend time in the book, you're spending time with Jesus. And the more time you spend in the book, the more time you spend with Jesus. And it was just a few years ago that another man confessed, who is in charge of one of the biggest ministries in the United States, that he had learned that he was putting the Bible ahead of Jesus. I didn't know you could do that. But you can. You can worship the Bible instead of Jesus. And you can put it in front of Jesus and forget that the way Jesus did things. And mainly you do it by making rules. This is what he's talking about here. Now there are some rules that Anthony reminds me constantly that are good rules. You know, it's good to make a rule that I'm not going to steal, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to do some of those things. But to try to create a religious situation to where I've got rules that keep me out of trouble and I've built walls and I don't go here and I don't go there and I won't do this and I won't do that. Those things keep you away from God, because God will call you most anywhere, and the next place He might call you might be a place that you already got a rule you don't go. I've got an expression I call hanging loose with the Lord. That's what I've had to learn to do. I don't know where He's going to carry me next. I don't know what He's going to ask me to do. But I've got to be ready to do it. The Pharisees tried to do that. They tried to live a life full of rules that would get them to God. And it didn't work. The Spirit giveth life is living under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Now we talk about that some around here, and I'm going to try to explain it. It's talking about revelation. Well, wait a minute. The book of Revelation? No, it's not about the book of Revelation. It's about the revealing, what God shows us in our minds about the Scripture. If you will, please, one of the most perfect examples of it I know is in Matthew chapter 13. Now look at this situation. Jesus is out there preaching. He's preaching to great numbers of people. And He's got His disciples with Him. And this particular day, He starts teaching on the sowers and the seed. And He's trying to make a point with so many of His parables, like He does. He's taking a spiritual principle and putting it into everyday talk so He thinks He can cause people to understand. So He's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And He's talking about throwing seeds. And the seed landed here and some seed landed there. And then He goes on to say how it worked. Because most of these people were sowers. And the last verse of His sermon, in verse 9 of chapter 13, He says, who hath ears, let him hear. Who hath ears, let him hear. Now He's not talking about deaf and dumb. He's talking about spiritual ears. Who can understand, let him understand. That's what He's saying. Then when the disciples, it says in verse 11, came, got Him off His side, they said unto Him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? We find that that was the first time He had ever done that. He didn't start preaching in parables. He started preaching in parables with the parable of the sower and the seed. And they asked him, why did you teach like that today? And listen to what he says. In verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to them it's not given. You see what he said? To some people they're supposed to understand. Other people they're not supposed to understand. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even what he hath. Remember the parable of the talents? The fellow that wouldn't do anything with what he'd been given, they took him away from him and gave him to somebody else who would. So you see this whole thing about learning to be what God wants you to be. This process, we called it, from the time you're born again till the time you face Jesus, is about doing with what God gives you. And if you're successful with that, He gives you more. If you take what He gives you and hide it in the ground, they'll take it and give it to somebody else. Therefore, verse 13, speak out of them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Jesus was speaking to a group of people. Some of them were supposed to understand. Some of them wasn't supposed to understand. And he says he spoke in parables so that would happen. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart has become gross. He's talking here why he doesn't want them to understand. Their heart has become gross or dull, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Now to take an overview of what we've just looked at. Jesus preached to everybody. They all heard him. 5, 6, 7, 8, 10,000. I don't know how many. Some of them were supposed to understand. Some of them weren't supposed to understand. So he spoke in parables so those that were supposed to understand would understand and the others would not. Then the disciples came to him and they said, we don't understand. So what does Jesus do? He got them off to the side and he explained it to them. Now folks, that's revelation. It is instruction coming from Jesus Christ. How do we receive instruction from Jesus Christ today? He left it in the Holy Spirit to instruct us, to bring us to all proof, truth, and to show us what was true. So you see, you read the Scriptures. You read this parable. And if you don't quite get it, you be thinking about it. You know what he says about it? If you abide in me and my word abides in you. So it's kind of like a fellow said, an old cow, you know, she'll spend a lot of time eating, and then she'll go lay down under the tree and chew on what she's been eating for the next 3 or 4 hours. Well, you know, we leave what we hear and what we learn, and we go and we just chew it over and over and over and over again. And God shows us exactly what it is. That's revelation. That is the work of the Spirit. That's how we learn. Back in Deuteronomy, it says, thou shalt not bring into the house of the Lord the hire of a dog. The Cajuns wouldn't sell a dog. They thought that's what the Scripture said. Didn't have anything to do with the dog. So you see, without the instruction of the Holy Spirit on your life, because you see, without the Holy Spirit, unsaved people, the Word is all foolishness to them anyhow. I beg you, don't ever get in an argument about the Bible with somebody that's not born again. You wear yourself out and you'll never get anywhere. They can't understand it. There's no way you can make them understand it. Because the Spirit of God has got to teach us. I think there are three people, kinds of people in the world. Those that hear and understand. Those that hear and don't understand. And those that have never heard. And we've got to see that. There's not too many people you'll run into today. I've run into a few of them that have never heard anything from the Bible. Never been to Sunday school. Never read the book. Never had a Sunday school teacher. Never sat in church one time and heard a sermon. You won't find many like that. But there are many of them in the world. Most of the people you'll run into are the people who have heard and understand and the people who have heard and don't understand. So, we started out by saying that Jesus, in the word Logos, took a concept like it says in Hebrews, faith is hope of something that's not seen. It's the proof that something that's not there is there. So you see what you do. You take this idea that you've heard about God and you put it in your mind. And it becomes real to you. But you say, wait a minute, how does it do that? How have you changed your life today because of your idea about God? You're sitting in church this morning. If you had never done that, you may be on the creek bank fishing. So you see, you take this concept about God, you listen to it, the Holy Spirit moves on you, you believe it, and you start changing your lives because of an idea. Try to prove it to somebody that doesn't believe. You'll get about that far. And you can't prove it. But it's like they said about the Holy Spirit. You can't see the wind either, but you can see what it's doing. When the leaves do like that, you know the wind's blowing. When you feel the cool on your face, you know it's blowing. But you can't see it. You can't prove it's there. You can prove what it does, but you can't prove what it is. So you treat it like it's real, and all of a sudden it becomes real to you. And that's what God said. I'm looking for folks who will worship me in spirit and reality. Is God real with you? Do you live every day like He's real? If you get in a jam, who's the first person you call? And it comes down to this thing that Anthony's talking about on Thursday night. It's all about watch and pray. We watch and we pray. Watch for what? Watch to see what God's doing around us. Holy Spirit will show you. And then we pray that we'll be on the same page as God. That He will cut us in, like we said right here. That we'll have ears and we'll hear and we'll understand what He's trying to tell us. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for taking special care of us, for calling us off to the side, wanting us to know about You, the real things about You. Keep us from error. That's what the Bible should be for. Lord, get us to the place to where we'll have enough faith to where all we've got to do is hear that You said it and we'll do it. Teach us to trust the Word that much. And we'll praise You for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.